The telegram came about 6 o'clock that evening. As specially requested, it was delivered by hand, not telephoned, and Hercule Poirot, who had been hovering for some time in the neighbourhood of the front door, was at hand to receive it from Lanscombe as the latter took it from the telegraph boy. He tore it open with somewhat less than his usual precision. It consisted of three words and a signature. Poirot gave vent to an enormous sigh of relief. Then he took a pound note from his pocket and handed it to the dumbfounded boy. "There are moments," he said to Lanscombe, "when economy should be abandoned." "Very possibly, sir," said Lanscombe politely. "Where is Inspector Morton?" asked Poirot. "One of the police gentlemen," Lanscombe spoke with distaste, and indicated subtly that such things as names for police officers were impossible to remember, "has left. The other is, I believe, in the study." "Splendid," said Poirot. "I join him immediately." He once more clapped Lanscombe on the shoulder and said, "Courage! We are on the point of arriving." Lanscombe looked slightly bewildered, since departures, and not arrivals, had been in his mind. He said, "You do not then propose to leave by the 9:30 train after all, sir?" "Do not lose hope," Poirot told him. Poirot moved away, then wheeling round, he asked, "I wonder, can you remember what were the first words Mrs. Lansquenet said to you when she arrived here on the day of your master's funeral?" "I remember very well, sir," said Lanscombe, his face lighting up. "Miss Cora, I beg pardon, Mrs. Lansquenet, I always think of her as Miss Cora somehow, very naturally. She said to me, 'Hello, Lanscombe. It's a long time since you used to bring us out meringues to the huts.' All the children used to have a hut of their own, down by the fence in the park. In summer, when there was going to be a dinner party, I used to take the young ladies and gentlemen, the younger ones, you understand, sir, some meringues. Miss Cora, sir, was always very fond of her food." Poirot nodded. "Yes," he said, "that was as I thought. Yes, it was very typical, that." He went into the study to find Inspector Morton, and without a word handed him the telegram. Morton read it blankly. "I don't understand a word of this." "The time has come to tell you all." Inspector Morton grinned. "You sound like a young lady in a Victorian melodrama, but it's about time you came across with something. I can't hold out on this set-up much longer. That Banks fellow is still insisting that he poisoned Richard Abernethy, and boasting that we can't find out how. What beats me is why there's always somebody who comes forward when there's a murder and yells out that they did it. What do they think there is in it for them?" "I've never been able to fathom that." "In this case, probably shelter from the difficulties of being responsible for oneself. In other words, Fosdyke Sanatorium. More likely to be Broadmoor. That might be equally satisfactory." "Did he do it, Poirot?" "The Gilchrist woman came out with the story she'd already told you, and it would fit with what Richard Abernethy said about his niece. If her husband did it, it would involve her. Somehow, you know, I can't visualize that girl committing a lot of crimes. But there's nothing she wouldn't do to try and cover him." "I will tell you all." "Yes, yes, tell me all, and for the Lord's sake, hurry up and do it."